Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Maddock. I am joined by another Patrick, not the Patrick that you expect, not Patrick Laird. I'm joined by my buddy, Roto Pat from Roto World. He's coming on. We're going to do our Friday pick show. Reeves didn't hit me back, of course. So that's not even true. I didn't message him this week. I gave Lord Reeves the week off. Pat, we're going to make some picks, man.
We are, and capping off the biggest week in the history of the pod, I'd say, with the second most important pad of the week.
So blessed, man. We are so blessed to have gotten an hour and a half of Patrick Laird content.
Does he know that you're starting him in one of your most important leagues this week? Because I just saw you're starting him in the Roto World Deathmatch League.
Dude, I'm starting him in I have a Dynasty League playoff against Jeff Collins in this league that, like, Matthew Berry and Silva, like, this is like a league that, like, has, like, it probably has its own Twitter account somewhere. And I traded a future, a 2023rd and a 2021 fourth round rookie pick for Patrick Laird this week, just so I could start him in this Dynasty League playoff against Jeff Collins.
Hey, you're putting, you know, this is, he's the Laird and savior. There's really no other way. No need to gussy it up. There's really nothing else to say. Most important player of the season and the most important person in the history of your podcast.
Easily true. So for those of you, if you're listening to this for the first time, format of the show is pretty simple. We kind of just tail the like a super contest picks format. We each are going to give five of our most favorite selections against the spread, going from our least confident to our most confident. And I got to be honest, I'm very glad that we did not do this show last week for Thanksgiving, because I got demolished last week. I'm in the Fantasy Pros Sports Betting Accuracy Challenge, and I was doing pretty well this year. I was kind of hovering around like 20th or whatever, and I dead ass, I lost like 15 picks last week. it just got crushed. So very much looking forward to getting back on the horse. And Pat, you're the guest, so I'm gonna let you go first with your fifth selection.
Well, I was going to say, for the record, my number one selection for the week would have been the Bears covering. That would have been my
number
one.
That's very interesting, because I bet Dallas because I'm a stupid fish.
I thought they had gotten full Mike McCarthy with Jason Garrett. So I was like, the Bears are going to win. But, you know, the Bears are like the most problematic team I have in picks, though, like in my picks pool. So I was fully expecting the Bears to screw me, but they actually did come through for once. Starting with least confident, you know, I've got the Dolphins as 5.5 dogs, but I think they'll cover. The Jets last week were as bad as any team I have seen basically all season. Their offensive line was probably the worst unit, like, I've seen of any, like, unit.
Right.
Carlos Dunlap's still okay, but they let, like, Carlos Dunlap, like, take over the game. I'm assuming they'll probably find a way to win at home. I'm not going to pick the Dolphins to win outright, but I think the Dolphins – I'm not – this is my least confident. I think the Dolphins will find a way to cover 5.5.
I mean, who's betting on the Jets right now? who is – like, the Jets were one of my picks last week, and I knew it was wrong about 3 seconds into the game. I was like, oh, they're not winning this game. They're not covering this game. It's people, I guess the fact that they blew out, like, the Raiders, like, that was the step that they needed. But yeah, the Jets, they're just not a good football team. So I'm very much on board with you there, though. It is sad, because every time you pick against Darnold, you feel like the Barkley Truthers are, like, winning a little bit, and, like, that's painful. So, like, I don't super love that.
Gettleman knew what he was doing. We just have to admit it.
Yeah. Yeah, Gettleman. I mean, Gettleman knew.
Yeah. Gettleman knew. Gettle right. Hashtag Gettle right. He just knows. He knows more. That's why you and I are blogging and podcasting.
That's why we're spending our Fridays podcasting instead of grinding Joe Burrow tape. okay, so my number five selection, dude, it's so this is one of the worst I've ever felt about putting in a pick, but Cincinnati plus 8.5 points against the Browns. What have the Browns done to show that they should be favored by a touchdown over anyone? Like, what, like, them against, like, Canisius College from upstate New York right now? I don't know if I'd take 10 points. I mean, they suck at every phase of the game. Like Baker looks like the Texas Tech version of Baker, not even the OU version of him. And you know, their best offensive player, it's really been Kareem Hunt. Like, he's been the only guy who seems to be doing well, and Landry, I guess, but Baker can't.
Yeah, Jarv every week, revenge, the world tour, revenge tour. Every week is Dolphins week for Jarvis Landry, apparently, now.
Yeah, but it's crazy, and I think somehow the Browns are still like a public team despite how bad they've been, because like, what, they got 10 points against Miami too, and they did cover that one, but I was like, what, 10 points for Freddie Kitchens? Not a chance. No way.
Damn, I forgot that they covered against the Jets. Now I'm kind of more nervous about
it. It was like a weird cover though. Like, I actually think it was like Kareem. I'm gonna go look, but I'm pretty sure Kareem Hunt just like went ham in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, anytime you can take a team that's been basically horrible on offense all year and is now without its best player on defense for the rest of the season, you have to give them 7.5 points. So I completely agree with you that I do not understand the line in the Browns Bengals game.
Okay, so I'm trying to look, and basically what happened was just like some vintage garbage time from the Cleveland Browns. So that's I don't feel bad about this one. I don't feel like and you know what? The Bengals have like pretty much locked up Burrow now, because the Giants have two wins. And I believe they get to play against Miami. I believe that their Miami game has not happened yet. Miami has three wins. Washington has three wins. So they're not sweating. They could win this game outright, and it's fine.
Yeah, they executed the tank to, like, perfection, because they have a two-game lead. They have plausible deniability. You know, they put the starter back in week 13.
Yeah, they tried Finley out. They said, well, we got to evaluate, and we got to know what we have.
But then they put Dalton back in. Like, we just want to win, folks. We're not trying to tank. We actually want to compete. So they have plausible deniability. They still have the two-game lead. Like, this would be how you draw it up, basically.
All right, so your number four pick, who do we have?
I mean, I have a how are the Texans – the Texans, I have them as 9-point favorites. Like, how are the Texans not going to cover that, basically, is my question.
Yeah, I mean, they just blew out the New England Patriots.
Like at home against Drew Locke, like –
You're like a noted, like, you don't – I don't know if you can be honest with yourself about Drew Locke, though.
No, I can't. See, right now I can be overly honest, because, like, Drew Locke playing from behind on the road in his second NFL start, like, that is, like – he's, like – he might not just have, like, two or three interceptions. He might have,
that's the thing about him is he is, like, when he gets down, he just, like – I mean, I guess you'd rather – he's got the Daniel Jones thing going where he's like, he's going down swinging no matter what happens.
And he could be like a GOAT front runner, but like Drew Locke from behind on the road, like, this is going to be like a total disaster. And in his second career start, I just don't see any plausible way the Texans do not cover 9 points. I probably should have put that number one. I've seen two – I actually am still kind of hopeful for Drew Locke's NFL career. But like, if I was like creating a bad Drew Locke setup like in the lab – for his second career start.
It would be on the road against a team that can be up 14-0 after one quarter.
Trying to match points with Deshaun Watson on the road. Like, it's just going to be a bloodbath, I think. So, very confident the Texans will cover.
All right, this is, again, another disgusting one. A team in which I have zero faith, but it's more about hating the other team more. The Los Angeles Chargers -3 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Betting on the Chargers as a road favorite, it's just like – what, it's like the, like, you, this like, is truly, like, the number one thing. Yeah, they just they tell you at sports betting school, like, never do this. This is just horrible.
I mean, we know Phillip Rivers is probably betting against the Chargers this week. You know, like the
famous question. Well, what if this is the week where he's like, oh, actually, I think we can just win this game. So like, he just takes the 3 points. I mean, the Jaguars are bad, dude, and it doesn't. I mean, they're worse when Foles is in there. But they are a worse team than the Los Angeles Chargers, and they were one of those teams that was built on the theory of like having a good defense, and then it turns out if the defense goes from being elite to just okay, and the offense doesn't get any better, like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and the defense was like just okay before they traded Jalen Ramsey. So, like, if this is one of my games, should I wait? Or should I just like
hop? No, do your thing right now. Yeah.
Because yeah, this was my number one for the week, actually.
Okay. Wow. I feel like there's
how are the Jaguars not going to win this game outright? Like giving Phillip Rivers 3 points on the road. Like, I just, this game is like the biggest ever Thursday night Cowboys energy.
Yes. Like, yeah.
I just don't see, I'm using way too like strong a language, but I just, you cannot, Phillip Rivers on the road. I just, at this point, this season, you know, we got like last week, you know, we got the camera zooming in on Tyrod Taylor on the sideline, you know, like that's where this
How does Tyrod not get in that game? Honestly,
I actually have no idea, but like that's where the Chargers are at this point, is where the camera's zooming in on the backup quarterback on the sideline. Like that's when your season like is over. And yeah, this game has like the biggest Thursday night Cowboys energy to me. And just the idea of the Chargers being a road favorite is so offensive to me that I have to say the Jags.
I'm not gonna change my selection. I've already submitted this pick, but I don't feel good about it now. I feel worse than I did picking it before. But it's so hard for me to think of a chart like a Jaguars team that, I mean, these last three games have been like some of the biggest whelping around ever. But maybe it's just been Foles though. Like maybe now that they have the Gardner Minshew energy back, maybe things will be different.
Yeah, I mean, the Foles, maybe Minshew was like kind of like a Foles, where Foles, you know, would like come in as like the spark plug. He didn't this time, but maybe Minshew is like, or he's like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, you put him in as the starter, you know, like the energy bar is at 100, and then it slowly gets depleted over the course of the following weeks. Like, Gardner's like powered back up to 100 right now. And yeah, he's going to beat the Chargers at home. Like, it feels very irrational to me, actually. Just like, I just actually am personally offended by Phillip Rivers being a road favorite at this point.
I wish I could say that you shouldn't be, but yeah, it just, at this stage, who is the starting quarterback for the Chargers week one next year?
Oh man, I wish I could. I was gonna say Jared Goff. I have no idea why.
I really would love if it was Easton Stick.
Easton Stick, that would be a good one. It's not gonna be Tyrod Taylor. It probably just will be Phillip Rivers. The Chargers are the best at like spinning their wheels at like it'll probably just be Phillip Rivers. He'll get like a prove it deal, or he'll do the total Chargers thing. He'll be super hot like three of the final four games of the season. They'll have like supposedly new momentum going into the offseason.
Yeah,
he'll get a 2-year deal. People will start talking about him being a Hall of Famer again, and then we'll just like go through the same process next year.
Yeah. All right, man. What is your number three selection?
I feel like, I don't know why I put some of these games ahead of the Texans. The Texans probably should have been my number one, but I have the Saints.
We're not a big stickler for the order.
I have Saints as 2.5-point favorites at home. I just, the way the 49ers.
Yeah, this was my number one.
Yeah. Like the way the 49ers are trying to hide Jimmy Garoppolo, like the way he's been playing, like the way we can see with our own eyes, him playing. From, you know, stealing a stat from Mr. Evan Silva, the Saints have permitted just one top 10 QB1 finish since week three. Like, I just don't see how the 49ers are going to score points. Like, they don't have faith in Jimmy Garoppolo right now. They don't have their backfield, they don't have, like, their backfield order in order right now. The offense is just kind of in chaos. The defense has been still good, but they've been Patriots-ing a little bit as they finally are playing a real schedule. Have allowed a few big days. I don't think it'll be like a good day for like Drew Brees or whatever. The Saints are going to win, and I feel like it's going to be by more than a field goal. I just don't think Jimmy Garoppolo can win this game on the road right now.
This should be like 5.5.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be, it could be like a 3 or 4 point game. Like 5.5 would be like a lot more reasonable.
It'd be like the Ravens line from last week. Which, like, I think these games are very similar, except for I actually think it's easier for the Saints to just, like, get up, like, 30, just because – or, like, not 30, but, like, 10. You get the Alvin Kamara play, then, you know, stupid fat Jared Cook catches a touchdown, Dante Pettis gets out on the field for some reason or whatever, and he fumbles a wide receiver screen, and then all of a sudden the same. Like, yeah, who's betting the 49ers on the road? Who's doing this?
Yeah, I do not know. Like this, like Jimmy Garoppolo, they've got him like in like the Cousins zone. They only want him like attempting like 20 passes a game, and like you're not gonna like out Saint the Saints in New Orleans, like
right.
I just don't.
Yeah, they got to score points.
Yeah, they're gonna have to score points. And like the way their offense is like constituted right now, I just feel like Kyle Shanahan doesn't think they're capable of that right now. So yeah, I'm a big believer in the Saints this week.
So my number three is this is an inexplicable line.
Oh boy.
I know.
I thought you were saying inexplicable one. I was getting excited. Then I heard line.
Yeah. So the Seattle Seahawks, even on the road, they should be favored by 2.5 to 3 points over the Rams. Like, what are we doing? Every time the Rams have faced a real team this year, they have just gotten boat raced. They have just gotten laughed out of the building against real teams this year. So, I guess the earlier Seahawks Rams game was competitive, but like, come on,
come on, like, Vegas. It won't even be a road game. I mean, it's gonna be like Seahawks fans taking over the Coliseum too.
The thing is with Goff though, is everyone says that the road games are harder for him because he and McVay is like the headset connection or whatever. It's like more difficult for them or like harder for them to communicate on the road. So that's been a reason that people have said the Rams have struggled on the road. Didn't impede them much last week against Arizona. But yeah, I just think even if Seattle is more like a 9-7 team than a 13-3 team, they're still better than the Rams.
Yeah, and like they could lose, I guess. But the fact that they're not favorites, yeah, is ridiculous. Like this,
they
is
could
not...
lose in a very weird game where like the Seahawks go like full galaxy brain and try and see if they can get Chris Carson and Rashad Penny both to 20 touches or something. Like, I guess that could happen.
Well, they do. They go one way or another. They go full galaxy brain every game, so it'll probably be like close. They should have some points. Like they should be favorites. Because like this is not a pick'em. Like the Rams like cannot be favored against an actual good team.
I am a 0% believer in the Los Angeles Rams. I think that in tough spots, McVay and people forget McVay is actually like a shadow coward. Like people think of him as like an aggressive coach. He's actually he's about as cowardly as it gets in terms of going for it on fourth down and like not punting and stuff.
Yeah, well, if he's got like Jared Goff like stock, he's like coaching like he has Jared Goff now, basically. Like before, like he used to coach like, you know, he could like do anything. Like he thought like he basically thought he had like solved football. And this year, it's basically like he's coaching more like, oh shit, like this actually is Jared Goff at quarterback. And yeah, he's like gone into a shell and like is kicking a million field goals and not going for it on fourth down. And yeah, he was supposed to be like the chosen one, so it has been very disconcerting.
Yeah, he's got Trubisky syndrome now.
He does. Yeah, he really does. It's like Nagy with Trubisky. It's perfect. Perfect comparison.
All right, your number two selection.
This one feels really ill-fated and stupid now that I'm like actually gonna like make the case for it on a podcast. But I think the Chiefs are going to win outright and cover.
They do. I mean, we've seen the Patriots get kicked like a sick dog against the two good teams that they've played. I don't know how much you follow the Boston sports scene. So I listen to all these Simmons podcasts, but now we have Palace Intrigue with the Patriots where like Brady, like there's rumors that Brady wants out.
Yeah, who was leaking this? I guess, like, it has to be his camp because, like, those rumors, like, will not go away.
So, if I can third-hand give a report from me listening to a podcast where two guys were talking about an article that they read, there is a Patriots beat reporter named Tom Curran who
– He's very
basically
good.
Everyone holds him in very high regard, right? Like, he's one of these guys who is unlikely to be, like, a rumor monger. What Simmons and I believe it was Kevin Clark who was on the show. If I'm attributing this wrong, I'm sorry. But they were saying that, you know, for years and years, it's been people not named Tom Curran, like people who are kind of on the outside of the organization who've been reporting this fracture between Brady and Belichick, between the organization. But now it's Tom Curran that's reporting that Brady wants to get paid. You know, he's sick of taking these sweetheart deals for the team. And, you know, like, I mean, and there's still no resolution to this Jimmy G thing. Like no, how much do you think it tilts Belichick that like Jimmy G's like 10-2 and might get the one seed. And all he got was a second round pick that they traded for Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah. Oh my. Yeah. I forgot that that's the pick that turned into Sanu. That is like a fittingly depressing ending to that. And yeah, he's looking at Jimmy G and probably like, this is like all they can do with Jimmy G. Basically, he's probably very sad.
Yeah, but anyways, to bring this all back around, dude, they just don't have good players. The Patriots' biggest problem now, if I'm again gonna quote more of BS Report podcasts, so they are number one in the league in roster spots that are occupied by players making less than $2 million. So what that means is, dude, they load up on scrap heap guys. Like they have a million dudes who are no good, but just and
they do coach them the hell up.
Yeah, and but they are 31st in players on, like, I can't remember if it was 31st in the NFL in cap space occupied by rookies or what the exact number. And but you don't even have to be, you even have to look at the cap to go, okay, Sony Michel, they get nothing from him, and Keel Harry, he plays like 8 snaps a game,
and was put like sent to hell last week.
Like, yeah, Brand Brady was bitching about it to the media about not being able to trust. And so the one he does trust is Jacoby Myers, who's like this.
No.
He really is a perfect Patriot in the sense that he's no good, but he just does his job.
Brings the lunch pail. It's so interesting what you said about Tom Curran, because for years, like, Tom Curran would like debunk the other stuff.
Yes, he was that. Yeah. So that's what they were saying, is Curran is the debunker.
Yeah.
And now he's in on, man, Brady might be out.
That's insane. I still have a hard time believing it, but I do not have a hard time believing that bad blood is like still simmering. Because I believe the Seth Wickersham legend, you know, that Belichick basically had ordered the code red and then got stopped by Robert Kraft. I do believe that.
Wait. So I read this article, obviously, but we're talking like, okay, so I don't remember exactly. What was that Jimmy was going to start?
Not that. So like before the trade deadline in 2017, like they weren't going to make Jimmy the starter, but basically it was that Belichick had decided after 2017 to move on.
That it was going
to
be Jimmy, and Kraft said.
Yeah. And Kraft, well, Brady went to Kraft apparently to get Kraft to intervene. And that's the legend. And to me, it's very plausible. It makes like all the sense.
I believe it from Brady. I believe it from Belichick, and I believe it from Kraft. I believe it from all parties.
Yeah, because like that summer 2017, I was so baffled all offseason and summer why the Patriots had not traded Jimmy Garoppolo, because it basically made no sense unless they were going to keep him, because they were going to have to either the only way they could have traded
him. Yeah, they were going to have to pay him. They were going to have to pay him like $18 million a year to be their backup.
Yeah, they were going to have to either do that or franchise tag him and try to trade him, which was like so different. It just didn't make any sense. And I was so baffled why they did not trade Jimmy Garoppolo. So then like when I read the Wickersham story, like everything made sense then. Like, of course, Belichick wanted to keep him. Like that was the only really logical explanation. So to me, it makes too much sense for that not to be what happened.
So this is all a long way of us saying the Kansas City Chiefs just have better players. Maybe they don't have better. Maybe they don't have better coaches. Or maybe they're not as disciplined. Maybe they don't call plays as well. But they just like have better players than the Patriots.
And like the real short of it, this for me, like, you know, if the way to really beat the Chiefs, you know, is to like go totally nuts on the ground. Which basically you're saying then is Sony Michel.
Yeah, we're gonna get Sony Michel. Exactly. Like I don't buy it, dude.
So the road to beating the Chiefs, yeah, does not go through Sony Michel. So I think
I mean, that's how they won last year, right? They really did, right?
Sony, he's got like another, he picked up like another, like lost some more cartilage or something since then.
So even knowing that they won the Super Bowl last year, do you think that if Belichick could go back in time, he'd take Lamar over Sony?
Yes, I do for sure.
Brandon Bolden could have just been, or I guess Bolden was on the Dolphins last year, so it would have been. Let's just go find out who the fourth string running back was on the Patriots last year. I don't even remember.
As you said, Sony Michel. Your tweet was amazing.
That was one of my. I think that like, it didn't get enough action, but that was a very good tweet. It didn't.
I was sad. That was a.
Oh my God! Tweet. Do you know what would have happened?
Tell me,
dude. We could have gotten Cordarrelle Patterson, the starting running back in the right. Super Bowl.
I forget, dude. He would have had like a legendary. He would have gone like nuts, probably.
He led. He led the Patriots running backs in yards per carry last year.
That's like, man. I wish we had gotten more of that. That was too short lived. That insanity. Like,
I don't understand how CP went to. Yeah, CP went to the Bears, and they desperately need a running back. Because David Montgomery is garbage, and they don't use him, man. It sucks.
Well, yeah, the David Montgomery greater than some of his parts Kareem Hunt athlete story, that's not really panning out, is it? That was kind of the hope, wasn't it?
And it's hard to – you can't extricate him from this Bears offense, which is just like – I guess it's been better. I guess Trubisky has been playing better.
I gotta say, even last night, you know, like you got Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were acting like maybe it was like a breakthrough performance for Mitchell Trubisky. Like even last night on the second and third passing touchdown drives, he like basically threw an interception both those drives that the Cowboys just didn't catch. So like even last night with like the good stats and the good performance, like Mitch like actually tried to sabotage it and he just like failed. And so, like, he like escaped like a really good night. But like, even last night, Mitch tried to sabotage it.
I don't listen with the audio because I can't. Like, so much of my life is dedicated to football that actually I very often don't watch the Thursday night and the Monday night games with audio on. But for my own intellectual curiosity, what was Aikman saying about Dak last night? Was he kind or was he hammering him?
He wasn't hammering him, but he was noting inaccuracy. He wasn't like hammering him though. I can't remember who he was really blaming it on. I can't remember his Cowboys narrative.
24 hours on, Jason Garrett still has a job.
I was texting people last night that yeah, he actually is going to get fired.
I mean, here's the thing: if he wasn't going to get fired after that Bills game, they were just going to keep him till the end of the year.
It's so weird. They got the double-barreled Thursday opportunities to fire him and didn't take advantage of either one.
Yeah. All right. So that was also my game. That was all. Yeah. The Chiefs are there. I'm on the Chiefs. I'm on good teams against the Patriots right now. And like, yes, their defense is great, but like their offense consists of like 7-yard Julian Edelman slants and like Ryan Izzo, like being, you know, it just.
Yeah. Like literally no one thinks the Patriots offense is good, including Tom Brady, who was publicly.
He's just like actively complaining about it. Yeah.
He was publicly tilted about his own offense all week. Of course, what's going to happen is this is going to be like the start of like the comeback narrative for the season. They're going to like Python the Chiefs somehow. Like
why did they get rid of Josh Gordon?
I guess I'm not surprised Josh Gordon and Bill
I'm not Belichick I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised that they got rid of him without like a report of like, oh, Josh Gordon showed up drunk to practice.
He must be super diminished as an athlete at this point, because like he can't even like seize control of like the number three job in Seattle. So maybe he's just like a shell of his former self. I don't know. Because it doesn't make sense in the context, yeah.
Every other time in his career when he's played, he's been good.
I know. Maybe he's just finally taken too many hits. Like, I didn't mean that literally. His stuff is – this is like the one he can't come back from finally. He's just like too far removed from his own greatness or something. I don't
know. Yeah. All right, since we agreed on so many, I'll give a bonus pick. Arizona +2.5 or +3, depending on your book at home. I know Duck Hodges, he stood toe to toe with Andy Dalton last week, but
No, who'd they play?
I don't even know.
It was the Browns.
Yeah. Sure, whatever.
So basically Andy Dalton.
Yeah, undrafted free agent from Samford College. Good on you, buddy. giving points on the road to another like a semi competent Arizona team. I'll take Arizona.
I'm worried about that one as Kyler's number one fan. I don't want him to get like driven into the ground again.
The Cardinals, they're having a rough run of it. For a little while they were looking like a team that was going to be a little frisky. They were actually through 10 weeks of the season, they were the best team against the spread in the NFL. Like they covered against the Ravens and the Rams and stuff.
That Ravens spread was the worst one of the season, by the way. They were like 13 point favorites.
Yeah, I think that was my second biggest bet of the season. My biggest bet of the season. I can't believe I almost lost it. It was the Driscoll Cowboys game. I just took the money line, but I was like, I could not believe that game was competitive. Jeff Driscoll.
So the Cowboys and Bears, I would never place any bets that involve the Cowboys or the Bears. They're like, they screw me more than anyone in like picks and pick them. And
there. All right, so that was the pick show with myself and Mr. Roto Patrick. If you enjoy this conversation, of course, leave a like, rating, and review. And if you want to hear more, we are going to head over to the TakeCast and do some more chatting over there.